Good afternoon, Cell Group, and welcome back to our consideration of last Sunday's Gospel from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Now this, before we begin to look at the text, belongs to a big section which goes from chapter 8, verse 30 to chapter 10, verse 38. Now in that two chapter verse, basically section, you've got three passion predictions, and each one of them is slightly different. For example, the first one, first passion prediction, Peter rejects the cross. Lord, this must not happen to you. And then the message of discipleship is, listen, unless you're prepared to take up your cross, you're going to have no part of me. So that's the first one. That's an 8:30 to 8:38. Now this one that we're going to look at today is a second passion prediction where Jesus said he's going to suffer. And then there's the misunderstanding. The 12 don't understand what he said. And he asked them, what were you arguing about? And they said, we're arguing about who's the greatest. Then he talks about discipleship, which is service to the community. That's the big message of this gospel. And the third bit, is the third passion prediction, is in chapter 10, verse 33. Which again is followed by a misunderstanding. James and John, can we have seats at your kingdom, at your right and your left? And then the discipleship message there is about leadership. Chapter 10, verse 38 to 44. So this one has that pattern of the prediction of the passion and then the misunderstanding, verses 32 to 34, who's the greatest? And then the instruction on what it means to be a disciple, which is service to the community. So we'll look at that more closely now as we go through the text. So you can see after leaving the mountain, Jesus and his disciples made the way through Galilee, and he didn't want anybody to know because he was instructing his disciples. He was telling them, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. They will put him to death. And 3 days after he has been put to death, he will rise again. But they didn't understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him. So he's got this prediction of his passion. And then the disciples are silent. They didn't ask any questions. They didn't understand. They didn't know where to start. And I'm sure that's a very common experience for us. We just don't know what to say, how to react. It seems to be an amazing thing, as they say these days, to get your head round. So then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, now we'll stop there. The house in Capernaum was certainly Peter's house. That was the base that Jesus used. Peter made room for him in his house, and remember, Peter's mother-in-law was healed, and it's just outside the synagogue. You walk out the door of the synagogue and Peter's house is right there at your hand. You can still see the foundations of it to this day. So he has them inside the house. The insiders are inside, you might say. And he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? And they said nothing. Probably embarrassed. They were caught on because they'd been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Now, Mark has a reason for putting this in. He wants the present day insiders, the present day disciples, to recognize that the first apostles had feet of clay. And they were liable to talk about the ordinary things of ordinary life, namely ambition and jealousy, which were dealt with in the second reading of today's Mass in James chapter 3, 16 to 43. Now they were arguing about which of them was the greatest. So he sat them down, and that's the bit where you know he's going to be a teacher. The teacher always sits. He sat them down, he sat down, called the 12 to him and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must make himself last of all and servant of all. So there's that big key word in the whole story. Discipleship means service. You got to do works of service to the people. You got to build up the kingdom by service. Service, which means taking up your cross and following him. Service, which means sacrifice. Just as he said, they will put him to death, and 3 days after he's been put to death, he will rise again. That's giving up your life, giving up yourself, service. So, verse 36, then he took a little child, set him in front of them, and put his arms round him. And he said to them, anyone who welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. The little child used as a model of the ideal, such as the kingdom of God, the ideal that we all should look at, look for. We should see that in ourselves. Maturing and being an adult, sometimes we lose the valuable things of childhood, which is to do what we're told. Children are used to doing what they're told. Somehow there's a teenage rebellion that we forget to do what we're told. And we even regard it as a virtue not to do what we're told. So he wants us to be like little children. And welcome the little children. Welcome these people. The word for child in Greek is the same as the word for a slave. So it's to be that humble, to welcome the least influential, the least powerful, the least able of people. So we welcome these people, we make room for them, and we take on their characteristics if we can, to serve, to do what we're told, to enjoy the present moment. There's a whole meditation in there of how children play, are totally involved in what they're doing, and they're not thinking about ambitions. You ask a child what they want to be when they grow up, and they haven't even thought about it. I want to be a spaceman. I want to drive a train. Do you know, it's stuff that just doesn't make sense. So they're not ambitious, and they're not, they can be jealous right enough. They can be competitive, but children in the main are people who are able to enjoy the present moment. There's a lovely quote from St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She says, what's the present demand of love? How do we be disciples in this present moment? So I'll leave you with that thought, and then we'll have some points for sharing in the group, if you like. So Jesus uses the time they're travelling along the road to teach his disciples what it means to be one of his followers. Think of the wisdom you've acquired about life, about faith, about what it means to be a Christian. Who have been your teachers? Okay. Also, one of the lessons Jesus gives them is that there is a dying to be endured as we move to a fuller life. That was the road he would travel. It's also our journey, not only at the end of our earthly life, but in small ways through life. When have you found that by dying in some way, you came to a fuller life? Maybe if you have time, achievement, affirmation, recognition and status are attractive and enjoyable when they come our way. Yet we can be in trouble if, like the disciples, we become caught up in pursuit of them. Jesus tells us that true greatness lies in the service of others. What has helped you to appreciate the value of loving service of others? When have you experienced the service of others to you? So let us pray. O God, protector of the poor and defender of the just, in your kingdom the last become first, the gentle are strong, and the lowly are exalted. Give us the wisdom from above, that we may find in your servant Jesus the pattern of true discipleship, and the grace to persevere in following him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. And God bless your work together.